Lesson number 3. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. John 5:23. Let us follow up the last lecture in the threefold way that reveals our reality. This is shown through divine reasoning, the knowing the self, and the realization of our oneness, wholeness. In this way, we free ourselves from all that binds us, and this freedom will lead us to that which in itself is wholeness, completeness, where we express love, wisdom, and power. I have told you so often before that just the realization of your oneness only is an idea in your mind because you have not discovered yourself. And if your self, which generally is caught up in the external, in your ideas, in your beliefs, in your various emotions, it is a prison in which you have put yourself in. Therefore, you only bring your idea of God into your prison. Now, unless you then discern yourself and the ways of the self, it is useless trying to, as it were, realize the truth, because you're still caught up in the things that are hiding the expression of the truth. Therefore, divine reason is essential, but above all is the knowing of the self. Then, when the three work in harmony with one another, divine reasoning, knowing the self, and realization of your oneness, wholeness, then you have found that which is real in itself. It begins to express itself of its own accord because it is not made up in the mind. Your ideas, no matter how great they are, how small they may be, how magnificent they are made up in the mind. They are your own creations. They are made up in your mind. Do you understand what I am saying? They are made up by yourself in your minds. Therefore, they are not reality. They are made up in your mind, and they are not reality. Reality is not made up in your mind. Reality is. Reality is eternal and ever-present. It is not made up in your mind. There is no other way, for if we are caught up in the outer, we will wander into chaos and separation through ignorance which is destructive. So let us continue in our reasoning divinely. At the same time, let us discern our thoughts, motives, reactions, etc., so that we will come to know ourselves for what we are. Then we will know the false from the real. After due consideration, we will arrive at the fact that the infinite mind is the only mind out of which anything can come, because there is nothing outside it. We will find that the universal mind is a substance more real than anything we will ever know. In this mind we live and move and have our being, and this mind is always expressing itself when it has the opportunity of doing so. Man, woman has been given the same life as the Father had life in himself, So he grants man, woman to have the same life in themselves. It is the same life that is functioning continuously. Life is consciousness and intelligence, an intelligence that knows how. Life has built the body. It brought together all the various electrons, atoms, and built the organism out of the mind substance itself. The intelligence is the active principle of life that is continually acting through your body. It is continually harmonizing all your nerve center in the brain, throughout the whole of the nervous system in the body, organizing every cell in the organs. Therefore, there is an intelligence continuously acting through you. That is the mother principle of life. The consciousness is the directing power. The consciousness is that which becomes aware. It is a conscious awareness. And whatever the consciousness is aware of, this intelligence will manifest. And we see clearly that man given life, consciousness and intelligence, which is the father, mother, love and wisdom, which cooperate continuously throughout the body, tending to create harmony and peace everywhere. Now we will say, as people have said to me so often, but I cannot understand why this should happen to me. You know, I am a good person. I go to church every Sunday, and I don't think that I have done anybody any harm, and all these things. I says, the very talk about it shows you what you are. You see, you are building on yourself. And it is not being good. If you realize that if you can get rid of the good, you'll get rid of the evil too, because good and evil exist in the mind. They're made up in your own minds. But reality is neither good nor evil. It is not made up of good and evil. It has neither. It is like electricity. Is electricity made up of good and evil? Electricity is a force, a power. It is intelligent in itself, otherwise you couldn't have light. It drives a dynamo. It's intelligent in itself because you could not have a dynamo moving. A dynamo thing is a dead thing. It has no power of its own. But when electricity moves into it, it begins to spin. That light doesn't come on till you use the switch. But the electricity is always waiting to give expression to itself. Life is the same. It is always waiting to give expression to itself through you, providing you know. And that knowing is beginning to know yourself, what you are, what is preventing life from manifesting through you. If then something went wrong with the dynamo, what would you do? You'd have to have some knowledge about the dynamo, therefore you put the dynamo in order, and then you find the electricity will flow through it and the dynamo will spin again. Exactly the same thing with you people. It is neither whether you're a good person or anything else, because I'm telling you this, life in itself is beyond the perfection of man's mind. The perfection of man's mind is something that's made up in his mind. He judges and compares. That comparison is odious. It's useless. And you cannot arrive at reality from comparisons. You can only arrive at reality when you have discovered yourselves, knowing yourselves, utterly knowing yourselves. Then by doing so, you will find all the false things passing away duality and opposites pass away too, and therefore life itself remains as it is eternal and gives expression to itself. It is not made up in your mind. Consciousness and intelligence are partners. We can call it, if you like, Father, Mother, God, consciousness being the ruling factor, directing power in all creation as it is in man himself. The intelligence expresses what the consciousness directs because intelligence knows how. Therefore, there is an intelligence in your body that knows how to digest your food. You don't jump inside your stomach, do you? And then try to digest your own food. Neither do you carry it to the various portions of your body. That's done by the intelligence, an intelligence that's active. But you don't see this intelligence. It is not visible to you. You only see the manifestation of an intelligence. Just as you have never seen electricity, no one has ever seen electricity, but you see the manifestation of electricity. No one knows what electricity is. I told you before the story about when I was in university, we had a fellow called Brownlee. He was a wonderful athlete, but a very poor student. And so he got plenty of privileges because he was tops in cricket and tops in football, tops in rowing and tops in everything. But as far as his schooling was concerned, he was a dud. So one day they had the examination and the professor pulled him out and says, "Brownlee, stand up." So Brownlee stood up and says, "This is the most atrocious paper I've ever read." So he said to Brownlee, "I'll ask you one or two questions, Brownlee." So he said, "What is electricity, Brownlee?" So Brownlee thought he'd be smart. So he said, "Well, sir, I knew what it was just before breakfast, but," he said, "since then I have forgotten it." So the professor said, "That's wonderful, Brownlee, wonderful. You know that there's only two in the whole universe that knows what electricity is, yourself and God, and you have forgotten all about it." You see that we do not create these principles of consciousness and intelligence. We do not create these principles of creation, but by them and through them we create in heaven and on earth. Therefore, out of the universal mind comes everything, even the bread we eat, the clothes we wear, everything that we use or can ever use comes from this source. It is the universal supply, the foundation of everything. We then come to realize that this substance resolves itself into form, not separate from itself, but in itself. This can only be done by conscious action. Our thoughts are expressed in this way, creating form. Therefore, everything is resolved. This mind substance, which is the only substance underlying everything, resolves itself into form. But the form remains in the mind, and the mind supports the form and interpenetrates it. Now, we have been told by science that there is a substance known to science as ether. And the science says that the ether of space is everywhere, there is nowhere where it is not. The ether of space is a product of the universal mind. Universal mind is behind it, and therefore the universal mind interpenetrates everything as well as ether interpenetrates every object. Now, ether is a substance that carries vibrations everywhere. It carries vibrations, electromagnetic vibrations, which is the activity of the divine mind, or the thought. Your own thoughts are electromagnetic. These electromagnetic vibrations have the power of passing through the atoms because they're carried by the ether that interpenetrates every atom. And as the ether carries the atoms and interpenetrates the atoms, These electromagnetic vibrations interpenetrate the very walls of the atoms and transform them. That is why, to a great extent, your bodies and other things get wrong because of your fears, your emotions. Why? Because you have not discerned them. You have not realized what you are doing. Therefore, you're caught up in your thoughts, in your emotions, and you do not know yourself. How then can that which in itself is free from duality, free from these things, express itself when you are a bundle of these things, emotions, reactions, fears, and so forth? Don't you see then that you are continually creating these electromagnetic vibrations which interpenetrate the cell structure of your body? Now, nature, of course, is continually trying to balance everything. And it does. It endeavors to balance everything. And under the circumstances, if you give it an opportunity, it will balance. Now, healing is a thing that is not made up in your mind. Healing and wholeness is something that exists. The completeness and the wholeness of your being exists now. When Jesus said to the woman, "Thy faith made thee whole," the wholeness existed all the time. It was an eternal thing, and it is an eternal thing now. And if wholeness did not exist, the woman could not be made whole. Therefore, you see this, that immediately this three-way of divine reason, knowing the self, and the realization of your wholeness enables you to eliminate from your mind the things that were preventing the expression of that wholeness that exists now. Wholeness is not made up in your mind. You don't have to create wholeness. You can't anyhow, because you don't know what it is. But as it is already waiting to expression to itself, once you dissolve all that is false and preventing it, it manifests of its own accord. That is the simplicity of it. Everyone knows now that matter is not solid, as it was thought to be. Just as the earth is round and not flat, as it was thought to be, although there are few fatheads that still cling to these outmoded ideas, we must go further now and see that ideas are the product of man's mind. They are our own creation. And to find that which is behind our ideas, however great or small they may be, we must go beyond them. But to get to that which is beyond, we must see clearly all that is of the mind, so that we will not be lost or caught up in our ideas, thoughts, or creation. All the time, there is changing of man's ideas. The old idea of the earth being flat, the old idea of matter being solid, these ideas have long ago been broken to pieces. But there are a few stupid asses that still hang on to these old, outmoded ideas, preventing the expression of new ideas that come along. But no matter how great an idea is, how new it is still an idea. It is a way of knowledge, but knowledge is binding. Wisdom is not binding. Wisdom is releasing. Wisdom is freedom, but knowledge is binding. You see then how an idea can be binding, such as matter being solid, such as the world being flat, and many, many, many other ideas that are outmoded long ago, but they have taken root, crystallized in the minds of individuals, and they are bound by them. Therefore, you see, the difference between wisdom and knowledge And unless you see the difference between wisdom and knowledge, you will still be caught up and bound by knowledge. So science has been a great help to us in removing the ideas of the solidity of matter. For science has shown that matter is porous and changeable because it is made up of a combination of atoms that change and form into new combinations, thus changing the form itself. In our further search in the relative or outer structure, we find that the atom is a vortex of energy, the power of which staggers the imagination. But this vortex of energy is nothing compared to the force that is behind it, the force that created it. The force that created it is electromagnetic in nature, being the action of the Father, Mother, God. Just as the Father, Mother, God is inherent in you, the same mode of action exists in the universe as exists within yourselves. Therefore, you see, God made you in his own image and likeness. And because there cannot be two consciousness, there cannot be life that it has been divided in itself, having one life here and another life there, life being indivisible is expressing itself through you and me. Your consciousness can be none other than the consciousness of God, God being infinite in nature. If your consciousness was derived from some other source, then God could not be infinite, and that would be ridiculous. So we have to use divine reasoning in our way along. And as we use divine reasoning on our way along, coupled with what I have told you, a knowledge of the self and the realization of our wholeness, that which is not made up in the mind, we reach that which in itself is eternal and ever-present. Consciousness and intelligence in action. For everything in the universe is electromagnetic. The secret of this force will give us power to traverse the universe itself. You have heard me say before that energy encased in its smallest space has the greatest intensity. And as science further develops along this line of action, we will reach the source of all energy, which is one whole and not separated from anything. We will reach point, and behind point is the potential energy behind all creation, universal mind. I say point because point is everywhere and there is nowhere where point is not. Point is, if you can see it clearly, is the very smallest, the very tiniest, beyond the capability of man's thought, from which energy begins to move outward to create atoms, cells, and forms. If I drew a line, and if I had this, say, for instance, here was the universal energy total in that board, which is a very poor imitation of an idea of it. It's because I'm just trying to give you an idea now. But I don't want to give you an idea really of that energy because we don't know what it is. But to prove my point, that's point. Now, point is everywhere in that universal mind, is it not? Therefore, point is where that universal mind begins to act outwardly to create energy in the relative, such as creating atoms, creating, we call, etherons, from the etherons then into the atoms, from the atoms into the molecules, from the molecules into the cells into the organs. Here is an intelligence that follows energy itself, being intelligence in action. mind being intelligence, having within itself consciousness and intelligence, being that itself, then begins to express itself, carrying with itself its potentialities of consciousness and intelligence. Therefore, energy is intelligence in action. You have see it in your bodies, everywhere. I am only giving to you what I have been taught by the masters myself. Perhaps shouldn't be given to you anyway, but I'm giving it to you now. But the point is this, that if you can grasp what I am telling you, you have found something that will enable you to reason divinely, so that you will find that which is beyond reason. Reason is of the mind, but that which is real is beyond the mind. But divine reason leads you up to it, and it's essential that you should understand. I'm condensing into a word picture what the masters know in relation to cause and effect. Therefore, the outer shell we call matter consists of masses of atoms and electrons which form various combinations through electromagnetic vibrations. This is mind in action. All form changes and dissolves back to their original elements. This change we call death. The ignorant say, this or that thing is dead. A person or an animal is dead. But there cannot be a dead particle in the whole living universe. So death becomes a real thing to those who do not know the real truth. It is hard for those who stick to beliefs and ideas to realize that there is no death, because they are caught up in their beliefs, which is separation. How terrible it is that even those who should know something about this, the greatest knowledge as is possible to enable man to reason divinely, that these people are still caught up in ignorance of their beliefs, and still hindering the progress of humanity. There has been more bloodshed throughout the world, more misery and cruelty through religious beliefs. Read your history and you will see that these words of mine are true. More misery and more cruelty exists in the religious beliefs throughout the world than in anything else. You can prove it with your own history. I don't have to go into the details of it. Therefore, a knowledge of the universal and a knowledge of the self must go hand in hand with divine reasoning. We then arrive at the birthless and deathless state of reality, which is the essence within ourselves. In a general way, the majority of people practice a meditation that is a form of becoming, a building up in the mind of a series of images which leads away from reality. That's what I'm trying to show you. In your meditations, what are you doing? You're building up ideas in your mind, images and so forth, which leads you away to reality. Real meditation is a breaking down of these images and ideas and eliminating them so that which is real can give expression to itself. So they deny, imitate, concentrate, all in one, which is a mental process narrowing down thought feeling instead of understanding it. They try to cultivate virtue by trying to focus their wandering attention on a saint or a teacher or an idea. And that's the sum total of their virtue. Their virtue is an imitation. It isn't a reality. They're trying to imitate a teacher of 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago whatever the case may be. That is not virtue. Virtue is understanding the self, what is in the mind, what is preventing reality from expressing itself, because reality is virtue itself. We use various techniques, though they become slaves to their ideas, which must eventually end in illusion. We seek an end, and the end is the illusion. It never comes. So they are caught up in their endless ideas, mantras, and the like. So what they really seek is never found. Reality is being now. So they're always trying to become something and not knowing that being is now. Being is now and comes into being when you have discerned all that is preventing its presence now. Meditation with the majority who do not understand is merely craving to become or not to become. They crave not to become evil and they crave to become good, so there is a continual conflict in the mind. It is a subtle form of self-expansion and self-assertiveness. So it becomes a series of struggles within the pattern of duality, within the pattern of opposites. No matter how high or how low you may go, in one's meditation, there is no end to the conflict. Only with the cessation of craving is there peace and knowing that which is beyond the pattern of duality or opposite. So if you crave for a material thing, or you crave for a spiritual thing, it is just the same, you're going away from both. The craving for a material thing is a belief that you have not got it. A craving for a spiritual thing is exactly the same. Therefore, you are being torn one way and the other. You think then that material things are evil and spiritual things are good. Therefore, you want to cling on to your material things, yet you want to discard them. You want to bring in the spiritual things into your life, but you're afraid because you have material things. So you're still in conflict again. But the material thing and the spiritual thing is one and the same. There is no division between the material and the spiritual. That which you see is a manifestation of the spirit. It cannot be anything else. It's what you use, how you use a thing, how you think, how you react. Therefore, the thing does not hurt you. It's your reactions to those things, how you react, how your emotions and conditions. And if you discern your reactions, if you can discern your cravings, if you can discern your motives, then you'll understand yourself. Then you will understand. Not only that, but you will understand that being is now, and that spiritual and material things are one and the same. One is the inner and the other is the outer. It cannot be otherwise. Otherwise, God could not be infinite in nature. Don't you see now that matter is not a solid thing? It's just something that's built up. It's a combination of atoms and electrons, etheron, which come about by electromagnetic vibrations, built up and expresses itself in the form held in the mind. Hope to God you can understand me. If you can, you'll find something that is priceless. I know perfectly well that I had to think deeply when I was in the Himalayas, when I was taught all these things, when it was brought to the surface, brought to me clearly. But I had to think it out for myself. And what I am saying to you now, you have to find and think it out for yourself too. And you will find it true. So if you do not know yourself, your meditation is of little value. In fact, your meditation becomes a hindrance. If I do not understand myself, my cravings, my motives, my contradictions, how can I arrive at that which is beyond? I do not create reality. It is now and comes into being when I understand myself. If I do not understand that I am greedy, antagonistic, envious, jealous, living in opposites, my meditation only strengthens my self-enclosing process, that self-enclosing process which is these things that I have not yet understood. Without self-knowledge, my thought-feeling cannot transcend itself, for the mind will be caught up in it. Is it not so that many who practice meditation and talk about brotherly love condone and participate in separatism, in war, which is organized murder? This kind of meditation only strengthens their narrowness, ill will, and ignorance. I told you before that true meditation is not trying to control your wandering thoughts. You must become aware of them. Think out, feel out every thought, comprehend its significance, however pleasant or unpleasant, trying to understand each thought feeling. Each thought feeling thus pursued will yield its meaning. And as the mind comprehends its own repetitive wandering thoughts, it becomes emptied of its own formulations. So everything is always repeating itself. Why is a thought always rising to the surface and troubling you? Why is your mind always troubled by a particular form of thought? It rises and rises again, it repeats itself. This repetitive process of a thought is because you have not dealt with it, you have not read it, you do not understand it. Therefore it rises again because you are troubled by it. And the more you are troubled by a thought, the more it will rise. If you try then to pacify your thought without understanding it or relegate it to some subterranean channel of your brain, it'll change its course. It'll hide itself, hide its head. But the energy, the emotion attached to it will rise up through your system and bring about some other devastating affair in your system because you do not understand it. But immediately you begin to discern your thoughts as they arise. All these hidden ones will raise their head also, and you will be able to discern them clearly and distinctly, and you will be free. They are false anyhow, so why be afraid of them? A memory? Are you afraid of a memory, which is something that's happened, which has relegated itself to a cell in your brain? Are you afraid of it? But you are afraid of your memories. You don't like the unpleasant things. You like to think of the pleasant things, but not the unpleasant. But you have to see them equally alike and without any particular identification, without, as it were, condemnation. If you condemn yourself because of your thought rising to yourself, then you've lost yourself, you're caught up again in your condemnation. You must see these things so clearly so that you will understand your thought feeling, the feeling you have in regard to it. And when you understand the feeling you have in regard to it, it passes away, you see. It has no power of its own except the power you give it. Your mind is burdened with the past, the storehouse of the many contradictory values. It is ever gathering, ever becoming. So we must be aware of these accumulations and understand them as they arise. Your meditation should be like a person who has stored up many letters in a drawer for years, who now begin to read them one after another, keeping some, discarding others. What you keep, reread again and again until you discard them all. then your drawer will be empty. If your thoughts arise again and again, it's because you have not understood them. You have not read them. Just as the drawer can only be useful when it is empty, so must your mind be empty before wisdom and love can manifest. And if you have fears, ideas of limitation, if you have hatreds, if you have antagonisms, if you have jealousies, you must discern them and understand the cause, and you will see the self as the cause. And when you understand the self, you will see the self lives in a falsehood. It has no existence in reality whatsoever, because reality is the real you. Therefore, when you have done away with imitations and fears and limitations, that which is real in itself to give expression to itself, when you have done away with opposites and duality, that which is not duality, who does not live in opposites, who is not contradictory in itself, will give expression to itself. But if you live in contradiction, if you live in opposites, you will express them according to your conditioning. And that is what you are doing every day. You are expressing your own thoughts according to your conditioning. And who has conditioned you? Yourself, of course. You'll blame it on other people. Naturally, you will. You'll always put the blame on someone else. Oh, yes, that's the finest thing in the world, to try and escape, but there is no escape. You mean to say that if you put the blame on someone else, you're going to escape from your own reaction? The mind must be open to wisdom and the ecstasy of the real to receive it. It comes into being only in awareness of understanding. So we see, without wisdom, knowledge can become binding, which leads to illusion and chaos. When the mind is clear, right thinking is possible. But with a mind full of concepts, beliefs, ideals, this prevents right thinking. Wisdom leads to the right use of things, which brings happiness, while knowledge alone can lead to wrong use of things, which brings misery. And we are seeing that very, very much today. We are seeing knowledge today used without wisdom. We see all the destructive weapons that can be brought about into the world by knowledge being used for the destruction of humanity. We see knowledge everywhere, but it is not tempered with wisdom. Wisdom is absent, and so is love. The two foundations, the two fundamental pillars of creation is missing, and everything else is false. When these two are missing, everything else is false, I tell you. And if you read in your own mind, you will see how false it is. All form will dissolve into the substance from which it arose. Yet the basis of all form still remains the same, from which other forms can be created. Just like a drop of the ocean. Take a drop from the ocean, analyze it, no matter how small it may be, but it's the same constituents as the whole ocean. And when that drop passes into the ocean, it becomes the ocean. Therefore, the creative power that in the first place created the world and all that is in it remains within us as the eternal uncreated, the formless. For in the uncreated alone exists the creative power of God and man, and not in the created. The created has no power of its own, it is created. Paul says, things are not made out of things that were created, but that which is not created. And as it tells you, your creativeness exists in the uncreated and not in the created. And your wholeness and completeness, the real you, is held completely in that wholeness, in that uncreated. And if it is not in the uncreated, then it has no createdness whatsoever. Because you're caught up in the outer. You're caught up in the created. The created can give you no power. It is only that which is hidden within, that uncreated, the unformless, the things that are not formed. Life is creative, life is not created. Life is not made up. Life then is the Father, Mother, God who created man, woman to have the same life. As the Father and I are one. This is the tree of life that the prophet revealed to the soul of man, when understood becomes a spring of living water rising up to eternal life. Is it not so that most people are looking for the good and the evil at the same time? Is it not so that they preach about the evil and the good at the same time? Thus the mind will produce what it sees, good and evil. If you are desiring the good and fearing the evil at the same time, you live in ignorance of your creative power because you're caught up in opposites. Jesus said, resist not evil. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Condemn not, lest ye be condemned. So what you see, what you look upon, so it is unto you. What the consciousness sees as a reality, so it is a reality into you, whether it is a false thing or not. So therefore you have to discern that which is false, so that the consciousness will not make a reality of it. Nothing exists to you at all unless you're conscious of it. Isn't that so? Well, you've got to discern what is false, so that your consciousness will not make a reality of a false thing. It is not so difficult to do, because it's quite easy. And I'm going to show you the secret of it. Discern what is made up in your mind, and you will know that it is not reality, because reality is not made up in your mind. It's not an idea, or an image, or a belief. And as soon as you grasp that truth, it will lead you to that which is not made up, uncreated, that which is not formed. We are not born of the blood or the flesh of man, nor by the will of man, but born of the Spirit of God. Call no man your father on earth, for one is your Father who is in heaven. God being infinite, Spirit, we must also be spirit, infinite, creative. You cannot get outside infinity. Always within the infinite, and there is nothing outside the infinite. So therefore, we begin to see through our divine reasoning, through our understanding, ourselves. We see how clearly we can reach at that which in itself is all power, wisdom and love. You don't have to create power, wisdom, and love. You've got to open yourself to it. We are spirit individualized, not separated, but one. And it is only when the mind is clear of confusion can this be comprehended, and not as an idea or a belief, but as our livingness. There can be no unity of man and God in a belief, because a belief is of the mind, and there are many beliefs and many theories. When the many ideas and beliefs are at variance with each other, how then can there be peace and goodwill? When the mind is in contradiction, when the mind is caught up in duality and separation and opposites, how can there be a realization of that which is not a contradiction? That which does not exist in reality are opposites. Are we not giving expression to our conditions instead of understanding them? We must become aware of our relation to people and things, discerning our thought, feeling, reaction, how and where it is moving. Is it unconsciously moving in ignorance towards chaos? and misery? Or can we discern it and dissolve it so that the mind can be free to express wisdom and love, which alone is real and is not made up in the mind? All your books, every one you read, is a matter of something that's made up in the mind. But you will notice that my teaching from the very beginning, which some of you are beginning to see now, my teachings were to eliminate the ideas and images you created about reality. And I was trying to prevent you from getting another idea of what reality is. Otherwise, I'd only be giving you probably an extended or a wonderful greater idea, which would just be a prison, exactly the same as you were before, but perhaps a finer prison, one you liked a little bit better, but it was just a prison. But if I do not give you an idea of reality, if I take all your ideas and beliefs and ideas of reality from your mind, and I leave you with nothing at all, then you will have reality, because it is not an idea and not an image, not a belief. It is a livingness. It is the expression of God now, because you are alive and living. You are life. And as Jesus said, I am the life, it was the greatest truth that was ever expressed through the mouth of man. When we are dependent upon people and things, we are bound, limited. Our freedom comes from self-reliance, and this is obtained through understanding our limitations, knowing what they are, and the realization of our oneness with all there is created and uncreated. Yet we must understand the difference between the created and the uncreated. For all things exist in the divine mind, and all are created there, for there is no outside. Therefore it is the Father, whoever remaineth within me, who is performing his own deeds. With this understanding there is no separation, for we walk together as one, the Father being greater than I. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The uncreated and the created are one, with the difference that one is creative while the other is not. That's why Jesus said these words, I of myself am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. And unless you can comprehend this, then you are caught up in the created and you've lost that which is real in itself. But whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life. John 4:14. Benediction. Divine Father, Mother, thou art all seen and unseen, created and uncreated. Within thy bosom I exist and do give expression to thy love and wisdom when I understand myself. I have found through thy wisdom that the uncreated alone is created, and the created is thy word gone forth to fulfill thy will within thyself, O mighty one. When thy Son Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father, I found the key to the treasure which was also mine. Thy wisdom was gained when I knew that it was thee alone who lived in me. Thy love manifested in me when I found that within my neighbor I saw thee also. Now I am crowned with thy holy presence, when all my limitations are swept away by thy eternal word of power nested in me, O eternal Father. mother mine.